All right, this is Connections Over Coffee. I am Kathy Bitter. I am your host. Carmela is your co-host. And so I'm going to click on Carmela here and make her the co-host. There we go. So now Carmela has all the same benefits that I have as far as letting guests come in and all that sort of thing. And so good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Well, I'm packing. Well, I'm finished packing. We're heading to Maryland today.
Okay.
And it's like, this is the first time ever that I'm just not ahead of the game. I've been slow this week because I got stung by a wasp on Sunday.
Oh, no.
Had reactions. So, and it's kind of like, so my body is totally off kink. So
fighting that poison. I get it. I get it. Well, that's one of the things I wanted to talk about today is, you know, all things health and you know, because a lot of times we kind of get busy with all the stuff that we're doing and we don't always pay attention to our health. But yes, your body is talking to you, Carmela. It's wow. So now what's the right now? Did you go to the doctor or are you just treating it on your own and you're kind of getting over it? Because I'm allergic to bees and that sort of thing. And it's really a big deal for me to get stung.
I called my doctor. She told me to take some Benadryl, but if anything else, so far it's been okay. It's been making me sleep a lot.
Okay.
So I've had no energy, but I think I'm kind of getting to the end of it.
Okay. But
I still, it got me underneath my neck here, my chin. So out of nowhere, I've never been stung ever in my life. This is my first time. So.
Oh, and that's such a terrible place. Oh my gosh.
So I did have like problems with my breathing earlier in the week, but I'm doing a lot better now.
Oh, well, speedy recovery for you. So you're leaving today. So you're getting packed and you're getting ready to leave today for Maryland. And so one of the other lanes, of course, that I have is the ins and outs of opening a short-term rental. And we've added midterm rentals to that, by the way. Our guest this coming month is a midterm rental person, which is kind of a sweet deal. So if any of you, and I know Kyle's in real estate, so if any of you have thought about this, you have a long-term rental and you decide what the market will bear for rents. And then of course you have to subtract out all your costs. You know, if you've got a mortgage on it, your taxes and insurance and your maintenance and all that sort of thing. And then the difference is your profit or your cash flow. It's the sweet spot. It's having income for yourself. And that's my retirement. 100% of my retirement is done on a rental property. Well, a midterm rental is anything that you want to put out there for more than 30 days, but less than a year. It'd be like traveling nurses, corporate, somebody that needs to be in the area for 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, but they don't want to sign a year's lease because they know they're not going to be staying. So consequently, they really don't want a traditional apartment because they don't want to have to go buy the furniture and sign up for all the utility bills. It's kind of a hybrid between a long-term and a short-term. The guests just, they want all the utilities to be paid. They want it to already be furnished right down to the dishes in the cupboard, just like you would a short-term rental, but they know they're only going to be there 6 months or 9 months or whatever, and then their company's going to move them on. So that's called a midterm. There's sites out there that you can advertise. So Carmela, this might be good for you because your property's so far away. And that way you don't have to flip it as often. So it's not quite as much work as a short term because you're only flipping it, you know, every 13 weeks or 26 weeks or whatever. A nursing assignment is usually 13 weeks. And then a lot of times they'll extend to another 13-week assignment. So oftentimes you'll get a nurse for 26 weeks, which is kind of a sweet deal. So you only have to flip that unit a couple times a year that way. And you can get about twice the rent that you get out of a long-term rental. So that's kind of the sweet spot because you're getting more rent, but it's not quite as much as you would make on a short-term. On a short-term rental, you get about four times the rent as a long-time renter. But on a short term, you've got a lot more work to do because you're flipping it. Maybe, you know, somebody might stay for the weekend and then you got to go get that unit ready for someone else. And then somebody else might stay for 4 days and you got to go flip it again. And then somebody else might stay for 2 days and you got to go flip it again and do the laundry. And so it's a lot more work, but you're getting four times the rent. So it's all relative. So midterm is kind of the sweet spot if you want something that's kind of passive, but yet a little more income. And oftentimes, if you have a unit that you've got a mortgage on it, midterm is the way to go. If you're in a place where you can do midterm, you know, if it's not in an HOA that says you can't do rentals, that sort of thing, you know, you have to see what the rules are. But if you can do a short-term or midterm rental, oftentimes going midterm makes it profitable where a long-term you would just be breaking even. And my example, and then we'll move on to today's topic, but my example is I bought a one-bedroom condo in Columbus, Ohio, and I got a mortgage on it. So I've got my mortgage payment, I've got my HOA, because it's in a condo complex, so I have to pay an HOA fee and my taxes and my insurance. And by the time I added all that up with what one-bedroom unit would bring in, you know, what the market would allow for a one-bedroom unit, I was cash flowing maybe $150 a month. And because the rest of that rent, see, went to pay, you know, the mortgage, the HOA, the taxes, the insurance, any maintenance. And so, you know, I wasn't making a lot. It was cash flowing, but not a lot. When I switched to midterm, I could double the rent because remember, it brings in twice the price. Well, now that whole second, because I was renting it for $700. So now I'm renting it for 14. And so now I get the second 700 plus the 150 that I was cash flowing off of the first 700. So now I'm actually cash flowing 850 off of the exact same unit. And all I did was change it from long-term to midterm. And it went from cash flowing 150 to, and now it's cash flowing 850. So you see how that can really make a difference. And the guy that's there now loves it. The only site I'm on is Furnished Finders is the only site that I'm on. And the guy that's there now, he says, he's actually not a nurse. He does something. He's like, I don't know, maybe anesthesiologist. He does something in the medical field where he's in high demand. And he says, I'm not married. I don't have kids. He said, I'm getting paid great money. I'm making friends here. He goes, I love your place. He goes, I'm going to put in for an extension. He goes, I might be here a whole year. I'm like, oh, twist my arm at $1,400 a month. Yeah. Okay. Perfect. I don't even have to flip it. So anyway, so that's my little spiel about long-term versus midterm versus short-term. So it's all good. Now, if you're in a place where you can do short term, that's kind of where the money is, but you've got to have a great team to flip that unless you're close by. If you're not close by, that you've got to have a team that can flip that one, because that's the basis of your success is what it looks like. And cleaning a short term rental or a midterm rental is different than cleaning a residence. When you hire a cleaning company to clean your residence, you just want your residence to be clean. You know, you just want it to be clean. You know, you're paying them to clean. But when you have a midterm or a short term, they have to clean it. Then they have to go back and stage it. The cleaners, you want it to have a wow factor when your guests walk through the door. So not only does it have to be clean, it has to be staged. So that's the difference. You have to have a cleaning crew that understands that they need to actually stage this unit before they walk out the door. You know, the vase has to be positioned a certain way, and, you know, the trash bag liners have to all be to the back. So that, you know, those where when you're at home, you're like, hey, the trash is empty, I'm good. But when it's something that you want to advertise, it has to actually kind of be staged as well. So anyway, so much for that. So what I want to talk about today in our Connections Over Coffee is, first of all, when we're talking about Connections Over Coffee and our time to rise, and I pulled it up on my, the definition of our group. I pulled it up on my computer, but I don't want to really share my screen right now. So I'm just going to try to go back to it on my phone so I can read it to you. The Connections Over Coffee is, this is with Kathy Benner. I'm Kathy and Carmella. So there's Carmella. It's Our Time to Rise. It's an international virtual meetup where we simply network and develop relationships. There's no pressure, no sales, no feeling inadequate. We will meet on Zoom monthly. While many of our meetups will have an entrepreneurial focus, everyone is welcome to come and check us out. And the word RISE, it's our time to rise. It's an acronym for a simple four-step process. And I just want to go through the steps. R is to reconnect. I is to impact. S is to storify and story, like tell a story. And E is to elevate. Well, today I want to talk about the reconnect. This is where you reconnect with your values and beliefs, what really matters to you and what feels right. It's where you decide who you want to be, the difference you want to make, the good you want to do, and the legacy you want to be remembered for. And it's also where you can, if you want, renew your commitment to doing your best in all these areas. And so where I have reconnected, and I don't know, sometimes it just slips off the list, is my health. I get busy doing all these other things, and it just kind of, it's there, but it just never quite makes it up the list. So I have tried in the last few months, I'm going to say since my birthday, maybe my birthday was the catalyst. Maybe it's like, oh, I'm a year older. I better start taking better care of myself. And so I decided, I was watching a comedian the other day on, I don't know if it was on TikTok or YouTube or whatever, but oh my gosh, it was hysterical. This lady was talking about the things that you should never ask your husband or your significant other, you know, like, does this dress make me look big? You know, and she was like, you have a scale, step on it. If the numbers are higher, then your butt's bigger. You know, you don't have to ask that question. Don't do that to your husband, because she said, there's no right answer to that. What's he supposed to say? She said, so do not ask him those kind of questions. So anyway, even though I was laughing, I realized that, yeah, those numbers have gotten higher on that scale. So I don't have to ask that question. So I decided that I needed to get serious on my birthday, which was July 12th. So we're just now, into August. And so it's been like, 5 weeks now. And so I've gotten serious about losing some weight, and it's working. I'm getting some weight, but it had to be a conscious effort. It had to be more than, I really need to get around to working on that or thinking about that or deciding how to do that. And we all know the right answers. We all know that we have to, eat less calories than we burn. I mean, it's a pretty simple formula, but it's not easy to do. And then as women, it's even a lot harder to do. Now, Kyle has a great figure. Kyle, I don't know if you're in a place where you can chat with us, but yeah, Kyle, but then I've watched him eat. Now, I don't know what you eat when you're at home, but when you're out with us, you pace yourself. You really do not. You always get the box and take some home, and that's why you look like you do. And I, of course, never take a box home. So I started doing that. So Kyle, what's your secret?
of course, when I was younger, I used to be able to eat absolutely anything I wanted to. And I wasn't a very active kid. I was an indoor nerd, played a lot of Nintendo sitting on my butt. But those calories do start to catch up with you as I get closer to 40. I try to drink a lot of water before and during and after a meal to help you feel full. And a lot of portion sizes are in restaurants are just so big. It turns into
too crazy
for me. but something I've been practicing lately is intermittent fasting and just time restricted eating. I just eat my calories within a 6 or 8 hour window instead of like snacks all day long.
Well, it shows because you always look great. And I always seem to struggle. It's always been a struggle. And it's a struggle in my family and so sometimes we have to just kind of look around, my mother battled her weight, my aunts battled their weight, my nieces, my daughter, it's like all of us, we've all battled our weight. And so it's just one of those things where I need to get it on the list. And so I had to really go back and think, why, because we eat out almost every meal. So that's a killer right there, but we love to travel and it's just the two of us. And sometimes it's easier and less expensive to just go grab something than it is to, go to the store and come home and fix this great big meal and then have the dishes to clean up. And it's like, oh, let's just run over and get something to eat. And so we do that often. And I'm discovering that I was a clean plater and I had to really, and of course, no matter how large the meal was, it was like, oh, this is a lot. Okay. Let me, you know, it was like something I had to achieve, you know, to clean that plate. And I really had to go back and ask myself, you know, where does that come from? And many of you know my story. Where, you know, I struggled as a single mom financially and, you know, and over the years and raised my daughter by myself and that sort of thing. And I remember so many years that food was an issue, you know, just keeping food in the house was a super big issue, just having the funds, you know, to buy groceries. And so I didn't want anything to be wasted. And somehow that has settled in my psyche where, oh my gosh, we can't waste it. And oftentimes, you know, when Mark and I are out somewhere at a restaurant, we're not coming back home where you can bring a box, you know, and of course we just came back from Florida. I just flew in yesterday from our condo in Sarasota. And down there, the heat index is just through the ceiling. I mean, it's very, very hot, a lot hotter down there than it is here. And so, you know, you can't just leave it in the car if you're, you know, then going to hang out for a while and not go back to the condo for a minute. And so you end up throwing it away. And so I had to get over that about wasting. That seems to be my biggest trigger, is that I didn't want to waste it. And then when I think back in my childhood, you know, my parents weren't wealthy. You know, I mean, my mom worked a factory job. My dad had had back surgery when I was like 10 years old, and he couldn't even work for about a year. And I remember my mom financially struggling through that time. I was old enough to remember that. And I remember even then, if, you know, we had a meal, I remember my mom even saying, now, don't you waste that. Don't you waste that. And I remember those days. And we're so impressionable, I think, you know, in that age category, you know, I think I was about 10. So I think back, and I'm sure that's where it got rooted, was, you know, how my family was. And then, you know, then I struggled financially because I figured that's just what you do. You know, my family struggled. I struggled. I thought, okay, that's just, and it wasn't until I was probably almost 40 that I remember looking at myself in the mirror and thinking, not everyone struggles. Why is that? Why is it that some folks really, really struggle? And then some folks don't seem to have ever had a struggle. And that is when, and I, one would think I would have figured this out before age 40, but that's when I decided, you know, it has to do with mindset. It has to do with, you know, it's the whole big picture. It's that, it's the faith, it's the law of attraction. It's how you look at things. I mean, it's the whole thing. And of course, we don't have enough time in this conversation to dwell deep into all of those topics. But I knew that in a nutshell, I needed to change my mindset. And so in my 40s, I was able to lose all my weight. And I was back to what I was supposed to weigh, you know, when you look at the charts. And I was like, wow, that worked for me. But then over time, if you don't have it in the forefront of your mind and keep thinking on it, you can slide back into those old ways, those old patterns and those ways of thinking and just my ways of eating. And if I didn't keep it in mind, I would slide, as they say, I would backslide so easy right back into all those old patterns. And it's such a subtle thing that all of a sudden you wake up one morning and realize you've done it. It doesn't quite register as it's happening, you know, because you do it little by little and, you know, a little bit happens and you're like, oh, I can get that back off. I, you know, it's okay if I eat the birthday cake and all the ice, you know, a full serving of the ice cream and, oh, that's so good. I think I'll have another and one of those. And, oh, it's, you know, I'm only 5 pounds overweight. That's not a big deal. I can get that back off. Next thing you know, you wake up one morning and go, oh my gosh, how did I let myself get back here again, yet again? And so, it's a struggle. And so I don't know that I'm through struggling with it. I think it'll probably always be a struggle for me, but I have to, you know, just keep it in the forefront of my mind. So thoughts on that. Tell us, Again, where you're physically at when you chat so that it's on the recording. And then what are your thoughts on reconnecting with a value or belief? Doesn't have to be weight. That happens to be mine. It can be any value or belief that you want to reconnect with. So Sasha, how about you?
Well, I am in Nashville, Tennessee right now. So if that helps the recording, great. I think, yeah, I totally, what you were saying resonated because I also had the same, like, it was like, I understand about with the weight and like the waist, like that mindset that we were taught as children, you know, because when you grow up where there's like a lack of something, it's like you have to hold on to all these things. And I think as we get older, you know, we, it's just innate in us that we have to hold on, whether we have an abundance of whatever it is we need or not, we still have to like hold on, like it's going to leave us like immediately, and it won't, like, you know. It's really a mindset shift of with every aspect, whether it's, you know, weight, whether it's money, whether it's, you know, whatever, because it's gonna come back to you regardless. Like you have to, you know, teaching myself to say, okay, I've got to pay this bill, and it's gonna take $50 out of my account, but guess what? That $50 is going to come back, and actually it's probably going to come back even more, you know? So it's like really thinking about that. But I mean, there's so many struggles and things that I wanted to reconnect with. And that's just from myself, because you give away a piece of yourself. I think, you know, when you become like a parent, or, you know, when you're working for someone, it's, or, you know, even taking care of your elderly parents, like you're always somebody something. And so a lot of times we forget about ourselves and what it is that we need. So I still struggle with this every day, to be able to say no, or to at least try to do things that are, that benefit me, you know, as a human person, things that I like, things that will, you know, make me happy. You know, my children, my girls are, you know, in their early 20s, and they're living their lives, so I don't have to worry about them all the time. But it's still like being able to shift back is difficult, because I still, like, I check their locations. You know, if you have iPhones, I'm like, where are they? Or what are they doing? Like, you still have that, you know, I still have that, like, okay, I have to make sure they're okay. Like, I mean, and it's just being able to let go and say, you know, it's okay to, you know, pamper myself. It's okay to get a pedicure. It's okay to buy that blouse. It's okay to, you know, turn off my phone. It's okay to do those things and not feel guilty. I think for me, it's always that guilt feeling. So like if someone asks for something and I say no, and then I think about, oh gosh, I said no. And, you know, does that mean that they don't, you know, they're not going to get what they need, or, you know, that, you know, it's going to be a problem the next time they ask for something, or they'll be scared to ask me for something because they'll say, you know, so it's like that guilt. And then you start thinking about things, and, you know, that's me. I need to, I guess, I don't say reconnect, because I think I've always been that way. So just being able to do that, you know, being able to say it's okay to take care of Sasha and do things for Sasha, but, and not feel guilty about it. And that's the thing. It's like, okay, I'm at the store. You know, I want to get this thing, but, oh, the girls might like this, you know? So I'd sacrifice what I needed to make sure that they get, you know what I mean?
I get it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just so shifting my mind to say, Sasha, you're okay, you know, to love you, to take care of you, you know, because if you don't, you're not going to be able to do the things that you want to do for yourself or for your family or whatever it is that you're going to do. So I don't know. That's
No, I get it. I get it. And again, with my scenario, with, you know, with getting my health back at the top of the list, that's one of the most important things I can do for me, so that I can actually be here longer to help with the family. I mean, you know, I can do a whole lot more if I'm healthy than what I could do if I'm not healthy. And so, I really need to just keep that in mind and not let that fall off the list in the future. And that's a tough one for me. Carmela, how about you?
For me, I'm about the same as you, Kathy. I've been on a reconnection journey of getting my health and taking care of myself, doing that self-care, because, you know, I take care of everyone else. I make sure everyone else gets to the doctor and does everything, and I'm the last one. And then when I'm down and out, it's like sometimes I get like a baby and I'm like, okay, nobody takes care of me the way I take care of them. So
I get it.
They do a good job, but even like keeping up with my appointments, and I was talking to a friend from my youth, and she was saying that she hasn't gone to the doctor in like 2 years. She's like, you know, these crazy things, like, you know, just like an eye exam or checkups and things like that. So I pretty much try to stay on top of those things. And even like with me getting stung by this wasp, it was like, oh my gosh, it was Sunday, but first thing Monday, you know, I'm calling in there. Okay, what do I need to do? I need to take care of this and, you know, and whatnot. But even like with my weight, it's kind of, I've been doing really well. Well, then just recently, one of my doctors switched some medications. Like, I need you to try this. This will help. Well, I'm noticing, oh, it's putting weight on me. I don't like this. So it's having the reverse. So I sent them an email and I'm like, we need to change this up. But I did start, you know, trying to get out and walk again. Even like with my shopping, trying to get things that's healthier, you know, and to get back on track. Like Kyle, you know, a lot of times I don't eat a lot, and I'm always bringing a meal home. I mean, I can, what they serve in the restaurant is a lot. So I usually have something for lunch the next day or dinner the next day, which is kind of nice. My daughter is, sometimes she's a Hitler, but she's really disciplined when it comes to certain things like that about being, and she knows, because it can get away with you, you know, before you know it, because she danced most of her life. She was in dance. She did competition. Plus she was in band. So she was really active. And when she stopped dancing and stuff, she said, Mom, I noticed, like, especially in my hips and mid area. So, you know, she starts running and doing all that stuff just to stay, because once you get past that certain age and stuff, I'm like, it's not as easy as it was before. But I'm doing a lot of self-care. So where I'm taking care of myself mentally, physically, spiritually, and it's like me as a whole, because I'm putting myself first, you know, so I'm trying to realign, you know, what's the most important, and that being God, you know, my husband, my daughter, you know, my family, and then everything else kind of falls into place there. So I've kind of realigned and had to say, okay, where, what was I doing before where it was working really good, and just kind of realigning and reconnecting with the things that's most important and taking care of myself. Because if I don't take care of myself, my mother used to always say, nobody else will the way you will. So you need to take care of these basic things. So, you know, getting my yearly exams and just staying on top of that, you know, even once in a while, just going out and treating myself to a massage, you know, that's something that's nice. I'm doing something for me. Not that, you know, I don't still reach out to help others, but I try not to let that take precedence over me, because I am a giver. And I'm really quick to put everybody else ahead of me. But now it's like, you know, Carmela, no, you need to take care of yourself first. And then that's what I'm doing.
Well, good for you. And I get it about the doctor's appointments, because I called my primary care doctor just to get a checkup, because I knew it had been a while since I'd been in. And the girl, she had me on hold, and she kept me on hold. And finally she came back and she said, I don't see your records here. And she said, when was the last time you were in? And of course I'm thinking a couple of years. And well, it had been over 24 months, and they purge records out every 24 months. Now the records are still there, but they purged me out as being an active patient. And so I had to start over and fill out the whole information packet and start over. And she said, I'm not sure that you can even get the same doctor. She said, there's now four of them in the practice. And she said, and they'll have to see who's taking new patients. And so I'm considered a new patient, because it's been over 24 months since I've been there. And I'm like, who would have thought, because I wasn't sick. So, I didn't go anyway. So yes, like you, Carmela, I need to get that on my list to do my annual physical, because early detection is everything the older we get. And of course they can tell a lot just from doing, a blood workup once a year. They can see what's going on. Oftentimes that gives them, the doctors, a heads up on something that's happening inside our bodies that maybe we're not even aware of yet. So it is important to do that. And I need to get me on the list. I get it. So Carmela, did you get, and Sasha says, I'm glad Carmela mentioned mental health, because we tend to just focus on the physical health and not the mental. Yes, that is huge. That's huge. But I think also oftentimes the physical comes first, because when we have chronic pain of any sort, it will actually drive you out of your ever-loving mind if you have chronic pain that you can't control. And so oftentimes I think it kind of all goes together. It's that, it's like Carmela said, it's the whole thing. It's the physical, the mental, the spiritual, the financial, it's all of it. I think we have to look at the big picture and just be whole in all those areas. So Carmela, thank you so much. That was a very powerful share. Thank you. Kyle, how about you?
Yeah, actually, I think everybody really hit the nail on the head. Really, it's both forms of health, your physical health and your mental health. And Kathy, thank you so much for the kind compliments. I do appreciate my figure, but of course the grass is always greener on the other side. And in my early 20s, I felt a lot of pressure to put on muscle. And, being a guy and being a gay guy, there's extra even pressure from that community. So I spent a lot of time and money and energy and effort trying to bulk up, which never really came to fruition. It's just not in my genetics. So that kind of leads into a segue for the mental health. I just had to get comfortable with me, who I am, how I am. You should make healthy choices, of course, but you really can't fit a square through a circle as much as you try.
I get it.
And someone can be a Ken doll or a Barbie doll, and that doesn't necessarily make them happy inside, So you've got to find that balance. And so that's what I've been reconnecting with since I've had the opportunity to be self-employed for about the last 18 months. I've dedicated a lot of time to trying to, working on both physical and mental health.
Well, it shows, because Kyle, you're rocking it out there when I see everything that you're doing. So yes, you've got somewhat of the balance is working for you, whatever that is. And again, I'm not with you every day, all day long, but your life seems very well balanced between work and play and the things that you're doing. So kudos to you for that. So I love that. Now, as we move on, we're going to talk about, once you make that reconnection, what impact does that have, not only on your life, but also on the folks that are around you? I noticed that whatever I seem to be working on the most is what I have a tendency to talk about, I think, as we all do. And so when I bring it up in conversation, now it is making an impact on folks that are in conversation with me, because now they're thinking, well, maybe I should focus on that, or maybe I should check that out, or I should look into that. And so I think it makes a big impact. And again, just like when I was growing up, I can tell you, you know, the actual words that my mother said to me, you know, like, don't waste that. What an impact she had on me. And so how much impact do we have on those that we're closest to? So let's talk about that. How can we have a positive impact? And so, Sasha, what do you think?
I think for me, especially over the past, I would say a year and a half, almost 2 years, as I've tried to shift my focus from, you know, all things everyone else and, you know, doing more things for myself, whether it's for my business, whether it's for just me physically, because I'll throw the weight thing out there, but I'm almost 100 pounds lighter from last year this time. So,
well, good for you.
So I, when you say talk about like your physical health, yes, for sure. But I think for me, just being positive, you know, about everything, even if things aren't working out the way I want them to, they're working out the way they're supposed to, and accepting that. I think the impact I've seen with people that I meet, or, you know, even at the grocery store, like people that I see every day, or my family, it's like a different interaction than it was before, because I have that positive mindset. So it's like, I'm not going into a situation where I'm like, oh, I have to talk to these people. You know, it's not like that. It's more like, okay, what can I gain from these people, or what can I give them? So, you know, for me, I'm hoping that when I'm interacting with whomever I'm interacting with, for however long that interaction takes place, that I'm giving them something, you know, whether it's something that I saying verbally, or something within my spirit, or something, you know, something that they're getting from me. So I can say that I've noticed that from people, and people have even, you know, said those things for me, like, you know, I need your positivity, or you're such a positive person, like, I, you know, really love that about you. Or you know, just random people will stop me and say, oh, you're so beautiful and lovely, and I'm, you know, so glad to like be in your presence, or whatever it is that they say. But it's just something that is coming out of me that is impacting, you know, the people that I meet or see, mm-hmm. you know, randomly or every day. And I think that speaks volumes. But for me, it's like, I still have to make sure that I'm focused on me and how I'm feeling, as opposed to what I'm giving them. I mean, people are going to get what they get from you regardless, whether positive or negative, they're going to get it. But making sure that I'm still maintaining that within myself is really like the true thing.
I love that. That is so powerful. And sometimes we don't even know the impact that we're having until someone shares it back with us. And I had two situations that happened just in this past, I'm going to say 4 weeks at least. I went to two class reunions. One was Mark. He's a retired teacher, and they wanted him to come to an all class reunion for the school where he taught. And so a lot of his students was there. And one of his students came up to me and said, I follow you on Facebook and everyone loves you. And I'm like, what? Where did that come from? And he said, you're just always positive. He said, everything you put out there on Facebook is always positive and uplifting, and it's always tries to help someone. And he said, everyone loves you. So I thought, okay, that was kind of a nice affirmation, but you know, I didn't see that, but that's how he saw me, or, you know, or whoever he's been having a conversation with. So then the very next day we went to my class reunion, and it was just my senior class. And one of the guys, and I couldn't quite place him, you know, how after 40 some years, you're like, now who was this in high school? You know, and this guy comes up to me and he says, you don't know who I am, do you? And I said, trying to pull it out of the old memory bank. And of course I was a little embarrassed because he recognized me, of course. And he says, he told me his name, And then I was like, oh, okay. And then he said, I remember you from school, because he said, I was so shy. And he said, and you always went out of your way to include me whenever there was a class, something going on in class where you could choose a partner or you could, you know, pick somebody to be on your team or whatever. He said, you always included me. And he said, I've always remembered that. And that impacted me at the fact that I was such an impact on him. I had no idea, because I was just being me. So I think what happens is who we are shows through, and that's a good thing, as long as we don't forget ourselves in the process. So Carmela, how about you? What kind of an impact? And an impact can also go both ways. Carmela mentioned earlier about her daughter, you know, making a comment, you know, about how she had to watch, you know, her weight now that she wasn't as active. And so sometimes, you know, I've got a daughter too. And sometimes something my daughter is doing is a huge impact on me. It's not always me impacting her. And so Carmela, what are your thoughts?
Well, sometimes I think too, my daughter is my biggest, the person that I look up to. I know that seems really hard to believe, because she has this, she exuberates such confidence most times in most things, where I've always been this quiet one. And a lot of times she's like, Mom, you need to, you know, be more positive, you know, about, because sometimes I will lean towards the negative part, you know, and I'm going to see it, you know, the worst scenario in most things. And I try not to be that way. But right now, I'm going through this stage in my life where I'm learning the power of the word no. And it's very difficult, because I didn't realize sometimes, and now when I take a step back and look, there's times people, you know, I genuinely want to help people and be there. So when they ask me to do something, I feel obligated that I need to do that because they asked me. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if I have something going on. I'm like, okay, let me see if I can shift things around to make it work. And a lot of times, it puts a lot of stress and burden on myself. And I'm learning that it's okay to say no. I can't always do everything for everybody. And when a lady at church one time said, you know, you always say yes. And then I was going back to it. I mean, there's a girl that I know, you know, casual friends with her, but whenever she's like in a bind, she calls me. And for her age, she should have it together at least halfway. And can I borrow this amount of money? I'm like, okay. And then, you know, I get upset and I tell my husband, he's like, well, why do you keep giving him money? Why do you keep doing this? Because you know what the end result's going to be. They're not going to pay you back. So you might as well write things off as a, you know, as a gift. It's not a loan. So I'm like, well, at the time, you know, I'm like, she knows how to like spell it out to me that all of a sudden it's tugging on my heartstrings and stuff. But I had a friend tell me a long time ago that God didn't create me to be a doormat, meaning that you can't always let people walk all over you. And basically, you know, she's like, I'm not trying to be mean, but it's like, they're walking all over you. They're making sure they're getting the mud off and everything else. And you're the one that kind of suffers in the end. And it's like, do what you can. You know, other people don't find it hard to say no. Why does it always have to be you? And so I'm learning. And it's funny because I've done it recently. And another friend of mine, I just helped her with an event in town that her and her husband do. And she says, you know, I want to have you on one of my podcasts. And she says, and you know what the subject is the, that I'm going to use for you is the power of saying no and how you've like come through that. She goes, but I'm going to give you some more time before we do this, but it's been difficult because even at church, it's like, oh, well, Carmela, you can do this. And I'm thinking, I'm going out of town. I have this and I'm trying to weave it in and I may end up canceling something that I wanted to do, but it's good. It's a learning step. My daughter finally, she's like, oh my God, finally you can say no. She's like, you never have problems telling me no. And I'm going, true, but you're my kid. So I feel that, you know, I have that ability to do that, but that's one of the things that, you know, it's been inspiring for me now and it's making a big impact on me learning the word no.
I get it. And I've got a couple of hacks that might be helpful for you. And I tell all of my, my mastermind folks that have rentals and you're getting ready. Of course. Do you have any other rentals, Carmela, other than the one you're going to have in Maryland?
No.
Okay. What happens, and the reason that most people hate to be a landlord, they go, oh, heavens no, my uncle was a landlord. He had nothing but issues. And he, you know, he was always getting called. And well, the reason folks don't like to be a landlord is because we're generally nice people. And what happens, it's exactly what Carmela said, is that oftentimes the tenants just kind of use you up, you know, because they're always wanting something. Can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do? And so one of the easiest to handle that, and I'm going to segue here in a minute, Carmela, it'll make sense where I'm going with this, is when you have rental properties, is to have a buffer between you and the tenants. And for me, that's an advisory board. And so no matter what the tenant asks me, Kyle's on my advisory board. So no matter what the tenants ask me, my answer is, that sounds like a lovely idea. Let me check with my advisory board.
Nice. So
I don't say yes. I don't say no. I affirm that sounds like a lovely idea. You know, can I pay my rent late? Well, that sounds like you might need to do that this time. Let me check with my advisory board and see what the rules are and see what we can do for you. Always, always check with the advisory board. Well, when you're in a relationship with, even if it's a boyfriend or a husband, or, you know, when you're in a relationship, you certainly can use that. You can say, you know, let me check with my spouse and see if I can do that. And what it does is it just buys you that little bit of time, because I think sometimes we get sucked into saying yes. And as soon as it comes out of our mouth, we wish we wouldn't have said it, but it's too late to take it back. And yes, we just need that minute, you know, to get firm and to really decide. Now, I went through a time when I thought, I cannot add anything else to my plate. So I have to just start saying no, 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 no. And so what happened was, no matter what came down the path, you know, I would say, you know, that sounds like a lovely idea, but let me check with Mark and see if I'm available. I want to make sure he doesn't have something already scheduled for that day. So see, I kind of put it off on him, but I really put it off on us, that we were working together as a team. And then I knew that I had an out, because I could say, oh, we're already booked that day. I'm so sorry. I wish I could have helped you, but I really can't this time. But then I had a tendency to just use that as a no, 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 because I just needed to, you know, I was really overwhelmed at that time and just needed to really clear my schedule, you know, for my own mental health. But then it occurred to me that I need to actually now regroup, now that I've kind of cleared the slate, because there were some opportunities that were really great opportunities for me. And then there were some opportunities that really were not great opportunities for me. And so here's what I ended up doing. I ended up making a decision that here's where I am and here's where I want to be. And so now everything that comes my way, I ask myself, if I say yes, does this push my cart in the right direction? It might be a great opportunity, but it might just not be a great opportunity for me. Like someone might come along and say, Kathy, do you want to help me start a pizza shop? That might be a wonderful opportunity with lots of you know, income down the road, and it could be wonderful. But does it fulfill where I want to go in my life? See, because I want to travel. Well, you can't run a pizza shop, you know, if you're in Italy, unless your pizza shop's in Italy. But you can't run a pizza shop here if you're not here, because it's a very brick and mortar hands-on operation. So even though it's a great opportunity, it may not be the opportunity for me. And so what it did, by just having that buffer, I'll call it a buffer, it allowed me to really, when your mind is clear at the end of the day, when you don't have, you know, the phone ringing and people coming and this going, and, you know, when you're in a busy environment, when you can finally slow down and really think about it and let your intuition kind of come to the forefront, is, would this be really a good thing for me or not? Then you can decide. And what it does is it just buys you some time. So that you can really embrace the idea, or maybe even daydream a little bit about it. Say, well, let me try to visualize myself doing that. You know, is this going to be good for me? And because if it's good for you, then it can be good for the other person. If it's not good for you, it's going to show through that it's not good for you, you know, because you're going to start to have some resentments like, oh, I can't believe I committed to do this. And I still sometimes get pulled into some of those. And then later I'm like, oh, why? And then you go, okay, let this be a learning curve not to do this again. But, and then once you're in it, sometimes you got to just roll up your sleeves and do your best, because you've made the commitment. And now, you know, you've got that whole side counting on you to pull it off. So sometimes you have to just buckle down and do it, and then just know in the future not to get pulled into something like that. But that buffer is always a great opportunity to use your spouse, your significant other, if you're, again, if you're a landlord, to use an advisory board. And here is, if you don't have a spouse and you don't have that significant other, and you are in the process of having some kind of a business, and it doesn't matter what the business is, it can be you're an author, it could be whatever business it is, doesn't matter. You can always use the advisory board. And literally put together a little advisory board and, you know, and just say, you know, let me check with my advisory board because I've got some other commitments on the calendar, and let me just make sure it's not a conflict before I respond. You just need that buffer. And so, Carmela, with you getting ready, I don't know what else that you're, I know there's lots of things that you're doing. You know, maybe coming up with an advisory board would work for you. What are your thoughts on that?
I think actually that's a perfect thing, perfect idea.
Now, for me, if somebody, now don't ever think that your tenants aren't going to check up if it's a tenant situation. If you say you have an advisory board, then they kind of want to see your advisory board. I actually do have an advisory board. And if you go to my website, there's an actual page on my website that says advisory board. And I have pictures of my advisory board right on my website. And everybody can have a website, you know. Doesn't matter what services or that you want to offer, you can put together, even if it's just an inspirational blog website where you, and I've been trying to twist Carmela's arm to blog because she has some great blog posts out there. And you could actually have that as your website, would be your blog site. And then you could just, you know, have a little, even if you didn't have pictures and definitions or bios of your advisory board, you can even just have a paragraph that says, you know, that you're open to bookings and obligations and that you're governed by an advisory board. So as long as you just even have a little paragraph to that effect, then if anybody pulls up your website and it says that, you know, you're governed by an advisory board, they're like, oh yeah, I guess she does have an advisory board because they see it in print. So, but anyhow, that's a great little hack, you know, and to really have one. So take the folks that you really turn to for advice and ask them if they would be on your advisory board. And it only needs to be two or three people. You know, and it can be, you know, your best friend. It could be, you know, like I have Kyle is on mine. And so, you know, it can actually be folks that you turn to for advice. It doesn't have to be something that you've made up. It can be an actual advisory board. So hopefully that's helpful.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. So Kyle, how about you?
Well, on the mental health subject, it's kind of ironic too. You know, they say some of the best students are teachers too. Mm-hmm. I've been talking to my uncle a lot lately. He's been living in LA. And he's been wrestling with the decision whether or not to retire early and move back home because he's just so stressed out there, you know, financially and the overcrowding and the pollution and the drought and the pending doom of the big earthquake, you know.
And the cost.
Right. That's exactly it too. You know, yeah. He's been a lifelong renter and his rent has doubled in the last 5 years with no end in sight. So he's really not happy out there. And so we've been having a lot of conversations about him moving back home and, you know, he's worried about, you know, his age and will he be able to make new friends and will he be able to find a new job? I'm like, well, the only way to find out is, you know, to take the plunge and to go for it because you're obviously not happy where you're at. So you need to make some sort of move. So I find myself dispensing really good advice to him. And then I have those aha moments. I'm like, you know, I should swallow my own pill. But, you know, having, you know, somebody to bounce ideas off of, an advisory board, if you will, is definitely very helpful. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And that's been huge for me. It kind of changed my world when I finally had an advisory board for my rentals. Because for those of you that either do or do not know, I have 30 doors. And so when you've got 30 tenants, somebody always wants a piece of you for some reason, you know, they want something. And so after a while, you know, every time the phone rings, you know, your heart skips a beat because you're like, oh, what now? You know, one of those. And so it's really helpful. It's really helpful to have that advisory board. And so I can say yes, 100% of the time. Yes, but let me check with my advisory board. That sounds like a lovely idea, but let me check with my advisory board. So anyway, so hopefully that'll help everyone on the call today. The next step is to storify. I can say that word. It's where you find the right words and the images to actually tell your story. And so I teach a course called Build a Better Business. So for any of you that are wanting to have a business or you do have a business or you're wanting to market your business, here's a tweetable quote. Storytelling is your marketing. When you can tell a story, it is a whatever the story is about, folks will remember the story. And if you just try to market what you're doing, even if it's just a message, let's say just for fun, you want to have a blog, you want to have an inspirational blog. You can blog all day long about what people should think or should do or whatever, or facts and figures or whatever. But as soon as you tell a personal story, that's when it resonates with your audience, is when you can tell a personal story. And it's just like when I started the call today and I was talking about my weight loss journey and my story was how my mom, you know, how that impacted me when I was little, when she was like, don't waste it, you know? And so I carried that through with me as an adult and didn't even really quite realize that I had, but just telling the story, see, just makes it more impactful to the folks that are listening. And so telling a story is so important. So it depends on, you know, what you want your story to be around, because you can have several stories. If I'm, Carmela knows me and Kyle's been around me long enough now to know that my background was in the cosmetology industry. So if I'm talking to cosmetologists, if I'm in an environment where I'm talking to a bunch of cosmetologists, then I probably want to tell my cosmetology stories because those are going to be the most impactful. But if I'm around folks that are investing in real estate, then I want to tell my real estate stories. And so you can see where you could have all kinds of stories depending on your objective, you know, on who the audience actually is. And if you just are really wanting to inspire, then your stories can be whatever inspired you. You can take whatever most recently inspired you and actually inspire those around you. And so I'll start. My latest inspiration was I have a girlfriend, and this is, you know, again, you know, we're talking about early on, you know, what we wanted to reconnect with and then how impacts are made and now how stories affect us. And so I knew I was struggling with my weight. I was very frustrated with my weight. I would step on the scales and be frustrated. I felt like you know, mentally just giving up, you know, why am I even, nothing seems to work, you know, and that scale just, you know, I would lose a pound and gain two and lose two and gain one and lose a pound and gain. It just seemed like it was right. I just couldn't seem to get the needle to move enough to make a difference. And so I ran into my girlfriend who, her husband had some serious surgeries and she was overweight. And of course, something happened in her life that made her put that at the top of her list. And she says, oh my gosh, Kathy, I'm down 42 pounds. Her telling me that story made me say, I need to get this at the top of my list because I know it can be done. So what is it that I have to mentally change to get this to happen for me, because I knew it was a mental thing, but I hadn't quite put my finger on what I need, how different I needed to think. And my big aha moment then came with realizing that I didn't want to waste anything. So I kept being a clean plater, no matter how many times we went out to eat. And so I had to just change how I order. But it happened, and it was that whole process of the fact that I wanted to reconnect with my health. I wasn't being successful. My girlfriend had such an impact on me when she told me her story and how she made a difference. And then that's what was able to push me over the edge to say, okay, I can do this and I need to make some big changes. So stories are so important. So what has been the most, it doesn't have to be with weight, that happened to be mine, but what was the most recent story that you heard that made a big impact on you? Sasha, how about you?
I don't know if it was one person's story. I think it was more to, I had been working with a, coach. I think it was 2020. I think I started, you know, had a few sessions with her, and it was more of her saying to me, to tell my story, as opposed like that it's okay, like people will, you know, as an author you write books and you know you have this product to sell, or you know, in any product, but especially with that sort of thing, it's people are actually wanting to connect with me as opposed to, and then they'll, you know, buy books. If your books are good, people will buy them and continue. But having that, it's, I should make sure that I'm telling my story, that people are connecting with me. So it wasn't really someone else's story. It was more to the fact that she was telling me that it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's okay. And, you know, for me, for my whole life, you know, there are certain parts of myself that I've hidden just because, you know, like I live with mental health issues. And, you know, I always thought that was like the ugly side of me, or the side that, you know, I didn't want people to see, like, because I'm a perfectionist and, you know, like I always have to be polished and present a certain front and like, you know, all of those things throughout my life. So those are things that I hid. But then, you know, having her say that to me really shifted my mind to say that, wait a minute, you know, the things that I've been through in my life, you know, like with you, Kathy, you tell your story all the time. That can be helpful to someone else, especially when you get to a point where it's like people see you, you've told, you tell your story, you know, this is what I went through as a child, you know, these are the mental health things that I struggle with. But then I'm still able to write books. I'm still able to get up every day and go to work. I'm still able to, you know, talk to people in events. And, you know, I was still able to like have kids and raise them and, you know, have them go on to start their lives to be successful. Like I was still, you know, like there are things that even though things happen to us, you know, we may live with certain things or, you know, have things that we deal with every day. It's how you overcome. So being able to not be afraid to let people see the flaws, because that's what's relatable.
Yes,
you know, that's how you connect with people, that they can understand, oh, wait, Sasha's been through this too, but yeah, she's over here. Like, let me listen and see, you know, how I can apply maybe some of that to my life. And then, you know, because your journey is your own, but we take bits and pieces from people and we connect that way. So I think it was less of like someone else's thing, and but getting that permission, I would say that word, to say it's okay for me to open up. And
I love that. That is so impactful and it is so true. And I'm glad she said that to you and that it resonated with you, because that was a big aha for me as well. Early on, I had, just like Sasha, I had someone say to me, it's okay to tell your story. And, you know, I always thought early on when I was in business that I had to present this successful front, that I'm this successful business person. And it was like, no, 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 your readers will connect more with you if they know that you can relate to where they are. And then they can, it's a lot more inspirational when they see that, you know, you used to have some of the same struggles, or maybe still do have the same, some of the same struggles. And so I have a whole channel called Fit as a Fiddle Plus. And so for me, you know, it was huge for me to say, I'm struggling with my weight. But you know, 90% of our listeners are also struggling. So they're like, well, thank God you're not perfect, Kathy. And so, yeah, it is. That's a great message. Kyle had to run. He had another commitment, so he had to jump off. So he said it was great being on with everyone. Carmela, how about you? How about you with as far as a story? Has someone's story made an impact on you, or has your story made an impact on someone else recently?
I think, you know, I have the connection with like the young women. Mm-hmm. Young ladies that I kind of mentor, and I shared with them things that I went through, because it's almost like, you know, life is hard for them. I mean, it's totally different than when I was in my early 20s and them being in that age bracket now. But with me sharing that, you know, sometimes it's tough, and, you know, my story, what I went through, but, you know, kind of giving them that encouragement, that they're like, wow, you experienced this. And I'm like, hey, you know, I was a single mom at one time, and, you know, sometimes times were hard, but, you know, I made it work. And, you know, you just have to focus and be determined, you know, what you want to accomplish. I mean, and you just got to take it one step at a time, try not to do it all, you know, in one big swoop. And one of the other, well, actually, it's a girl that she's like my second daughter, third daughter, however many I have, but she does my nails, and she always loves it because she like schedules out 2.5 hours to do my nails. It doesn't take that long. But so that's our bonding moment. But we got a chance to really talk last Friday. We went to an Elevation worship concert. And she was just sharing, because she's a newlywed and different things. Plus, you know, with starting this business. And she said, you know, she had this idea, and one person, you know, she was dependent upon to be her partner. She goes, but she's not there. You know, she's supposed to be my social media. And I said, sometimes, you know, we want people, but sometimes we have to be. And I said, and it's hard when it's like a close friend sometimes. Because unfortunately, they're not looking at it like we are. This is like your passion, your goal. And just kind of sharing with her. And I says, you know, there's been times when I was going to do something with a friend and it fell through. And I says, sometimes it's like, Carmela, let me do this. And, you know, I have a lady, it's like, she's like, oh, I want to be there, you know, with your oil business and do this. But, you know, I've learned, my oil business, that's mine. And, you know, this is the way I'm going to do it. Nobody's going to do it the way I want. No, nobody has the passion, because I have a different story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
and even how I share things. And, you know, with my oils, in a way, it's kind of like, you know, like this natural healing and, you know, kind of, I don't know if I want to use the word ministry, but it's one of those things where it's like, it's helping, you know, but if you don't want to take a lot of pills and all these drugs, then, you know, try this, you know, this might help in this area. But it's, you know, it was very heartwarming to know that me sharing with her helped her a great deal. And she was, you know, very grateful. Even like another girl, she took me out to, she was gone last week for my birthday. So she's like, can I take you out to dinner? And I'm like, well, you don't have to. So she took me to dinner Tuesday, then it had a big basket for me. And I'm like, oh my God, you spend so much. Well, she took a trip by herself. She's just 23 and her parents, she's like the youngest, you know, and I said, your dad, you're your daddy's girl. Her dad's the greatest. He's from Kentucky, this old, but it's like, you know, he wants to protect her and stuff. But she goes, I don't want to move to Florida with them because they're wanting to relocate to Florida. And she works in the medical field. So she went to Atlanta and she went by herself on vacation, got an Airbnb. And I told her, encouraged her to go. I says, because, you know, mom and dad's not always going to be there and they're going to care, but you're going to have to like learn and maybe bump your head a couple of times. And that's like a learning thing. You know, it's like, it helps in your growing process. And she said she was so glad she went. She said it was the best thing. She goes, I saw different things. She said, I went out to eat by myself. Mm-hmm. I took a book, you know, I read, she says, it was just, she's like, you know, this is where I want to be. And, you know, she made her decision on what she wants to do in the next year. And, you know, and that's a good thing that I can encourage them and they can, you know, I'm like, you know, you may stumble and fall, but you just got to pick yourself up and dust yourself off and don't give up. So, and they even helped me in some aspects too, even though they felt that I helped them, it was really helping me too.
Well, all of it is super inspiring. The fact that you could give her that kind of advice and that she could step out on her own. And it was a very successful trip. So that's going to be, that first trip is always the one that's going to really stick with her all her whole life. She'll remember that forever. And she'll remember you forever for encouraging her to do that. And that will become part of her story. Yeah. How impactful is that? And you were a large part of that. So that's huge. So we all impact each other so many different ways and it's huge. So I love it. Gosh, this has been a great conversation. Again, Kyle had to jump off. Connect with me more at KathyBenner.com. I've got 8 different lanes. So feel free to tap in at KathyBenner.com and connect through on any, do all the free stuff. And then I'm going to be interviewing Sasha on our Ohio Writers Guild. I have her scheduled for November 8th at 6:00. And Sasha, I will follow up with an email. I'll follow up to just give you all the details and the link and all that stuff. So you'll get an email from me on all that. So it's been great today. Any last words before we go? I just want to say thank you for tapping in this morning. This has been great. So any last words from anyone?
No, I mean, I just appreciate these when I get a chance to sit in on them because it's, you know, connecting with like-minded people.
Yes.
But then, you know, I always take away something and I, you know, definitely appreciate that, you know, having the conversation and being able to communicate and, you know, share things in a safe space. So I appreciate you, Kathy and Carmela, for allowing that us to have, you know, these conversations. So
yes, and thank you for being with us today. Carmela, any last words?
Nope. Just getting ready for heading to Maryland, and then we're going to Williamsburg, Virginia, right after that, and then back to Ohio.
Well, just safe travels out there, lots of traffic, but just safe travels And one of the things that I learned in my travels is that sometimes the filling stations have better food choices than the fast food restaurants.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Stop at Love's, like always stop. Like, and I'm just throwing this out there. My daughter, is one of the, managers at like a Love's in Ohio. So, and she's moved up the ranks. But like, I always stop at Love's. Like if I stop anywhere else, of course you'll freak out, but like Love's because it's always clean.
Yep.
Well, they should always be clean because every hour they're supposed to do courtesy checks, which means they clean the bathrooms, but they're more like clean, but, and there's always something to eat. You always find something, there healthy and non-healthy, but, I'm just plugging Love's because she yep. works there.
I will remember. So,
and I'll actually be in Ohio next weekend.
Okay.
There is an author event next weekend that's taking place on Sunday at the Ohio Street Connection. So I'll be there for that.
Now, what is it again?
It's an Midwest Authors Book Fair, and it's going to be on Sunday, next Sunday. What is next Sunday? 26th? I think 20, I don't know whatever day it is. and it's from 2 to 6 at the Ohio History Connection. So the Ohio History Center.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you feel like you want to stop, it's free. So if you guys want to stop by, I'll be there.
Yeah. I was just looking. Now this coming Sunday is the 21st and the following Sunday is the 28th.
Oh, wait. Next week. Yeah, next weekend.
That's so it's the 28th?
Yeah, the 28th. I couldn't remember what it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll check it out. Thank you for that. All right. With that, we're going to go and we'll see everyone next month. So don't forget to put on your calendar. It is the third Friday of every month at 10 a.m. See you then.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.